there's a movement happening. Some call it Reformation. Others call it Holy Discontent. We call it the Resistance. Traditions and harmful teachings have kept the bride captive for centuries. We will explore these systems and contrast them with God's design. Join us as we discuss God's patterns for life, ministry, and most importantly, His church. We will do this with scripture, testimony, music, and satire. We are resisting the system and embracing the design. We are the Resistance.
Welcome back to the Resistance Radio Show and the Reformation Radio Network. I just got tagged at the last second.
And we're back.
I know, I should have done that because he's like pointing at me. I'm like, me? I'm trying to clear my throat.
Trying to keep you on your toes.
Get my news, my papers in order. It's like, I'm going crazy over here. I'm checking my text messages. You know, just trying to be a professional radio host.
Were you selfie?
Right.
No, I didn't do any selfies.
He took a booth selfie. Don't lie.
I have a face for radio, and let's just leave it that way.
Wow.
Okay,
can you guys hear my candy wrappers?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, and I wish you would settle it down. Use the stuff in the metal tin there, and that way you won't make so much noise. really? Talk about professionalism. Somebody reach over and hit that red button for him, would you?
I can't.
All right, we're going to get into...
Never touch red buttons.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Scripture. We're going to get into some scripture because it's one thing for me to give you statistics in my opinion, but let's see what God has to say about shepherds don't do what they're supposed to do.
I was going to say, that's pretty much what this is all about.
And might do stuff that is in their own benefit or other things, and we'll just see how God looks at it. And then we're going to talk about leaving that context for a while, and we're just going to move on and say, you guys have heard enough about the situation of the church in America and all of its corruption, so now it's time to look at what Scripture has to say about the church in God's eyes and how it's supposed to be the Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven, Sarah, not Hagar, according to Paul in Galatians. So,
right.
Mark Sanford,
so,
take it away.
Yeah, a lot of things in history have already happened that we're seeing manifest again in today's world.
Nothing new under the sun.
So Ezekiel actually addresses an issue with shepherds. He's talking to the leaders of Israel in Ezekiel 34, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. So those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them." So I just wanted to stop right there, because there's a list right there of different things that these shepherds were basically guilty of. And God's like,
And none of it was nice.
Right. I'm done with you. He's basically saying that. So
now, would you say that any shepherds that are put in that position that are doing these things stand the same risk of judgment that Ezekiel was pronouncing then?
I would say that's a healthy fear of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he did it to them, why wouldn't he do it to you if you're doing the same thing?
Right.
In the same position.
That was
I don't think it's time sensitive. I don't think it's that it only happened in his day.
Right. Yeah, so...
I don't think that was just part of the Old Covenant.
And again, he's addressing... The crazy thing is he's addressing this whole passage is in the context of shepherds. So he's saying, my people are sheep, and the shepherds are my leaders. And it just so happens that we have a bunch of, modern-day pastors, that the pastor is the buzzword.
Seeing the sheep.
The shepherd is the buzzword.
Yeah.
So he goes on to say, they were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field, and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and every high hill.
What we're seeing in those statistics. Is they're just dropping out of the church because the shepherds aren't caring for them, and now they're out wandering and getting tore up.
Right.
Yes, they are.
My flock was scattered over all the face of the surface of the earth. There was no one to search for them or seek for them. Then he says to the shepherds, as I live, declares the Lord, surely because my flock has become a prey and food for every beast, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves, he says that he's against those shepherds and that he's going to demand them from them and that they're going to cease from feeding the sheep. So they lose their privilege.
Wow. Waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That'd be good for some people, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Get out from... No, I mean, for the people that are being abused in those ways, it'll be very, very good for them to have their shepherds removed so that their eyes can be open. They can see that it's not been a healthy situation.
Dude, so one of the things I saw was that basically these shepherds sound like they're guilty of building their own little kingdom. You know, it's like, I'm going to pad up my bed and we're going to take away yours.
Hey, are we doing a song?
Not yet.
Why not? What else are we doing then?
Talking.
Jason, why don't you talk then?
I will.
Got anything to say?
Yep. So, like you said, we're going to be trying to leave this old context of church, or the present context, I guess, of whatever it is, this thing that's out there.
The institution.
Right, because the church is not a group, it's not an organization, it's not an institution, it's not a business, it's not a not-for-profit, it's not a building, and it's not even necessarily a meeting time. A church is not designed by a sign, or a name, or a denomination, or traditions, or liturgy. So we should not reduce our faith to a list of do's and don'ts or a collection of right answers or a road to our own personal fulfillment. So let's lay down any preconceived idea about the word church so we can discover what the Bible says about it, letting go to receive what is of God. That's what we want to do. So
yeah. I agree with that. Let's do that.
Yes. Sounds great.
I think we just need to talk about the word ecclesia.
How'd you know?
Oh, I do. Because... Okay.
Are you looking at his notes?
No, you just have, okay, it's all about definition. So if you can define something, you can win the argument. But, you know, in this case, we're here because Scripture defines everything. Yep. So let's go to Scripture and see what God defines it as.
We will. All so right. The book, or the word ecclesia is the word in the Bible, the Greek word that's used and translated as church. It's ek, which is out of, and kaleo, which is to call or invite.
So invitational church is
right. Right.
No. So the interesting thing is that Christians did not make up the word. It existed already. It was a Greek word that they used all the time. And the Greek context was a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public space or an assembly. The Christian context is the assembly of the believers, any of the people in a given area that would constitute such a gathering of believers, the assembly of faithful Christians already dead and received into heaven. And that's the Blue Letter Bible definition.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to include everybody that's names in the Book of Life. Otherwise, you've come short of the ecclesia.
So another definition we wanted to read.
Well, you want to read that definition of the church?
Right.
Out of dictionary.com.
Dictionary.com. Just to give everybody a picture of how
bad... I just made Jason really angry earlier when I said, hey, have you looked up the word church in dictionary.com? And he's like, no, what does it say? And
here's how bad our culture looks at this word.
It's pretty accurate from what I understand.
It is a building for public Christian worship.
Wow.
Number one. Nope. Number two, it is the public worship of God or a religious service in such a building.
Yep. Public.
That's from Ephesians, right?
No, that is from
dictionary.com.
Webster chapter 3, Mark.
Webster chapter 3 and verse 39.
Sometimes refers to the whole body of Christian believers, it says.
Yeah, it's got like 20 numbers in
sometimes.
There. I looked them all up. But just the fact that the first two shows how perverted this idea of church is in our culture, that the definition has now totally changed, which really means that in an English translation, a modern English translation, the word church would be totally incorrect. Because it doesn't reflect the meaning of the word ecclesia.
No, it does not. But that's okay. It reflects what we do now.
Right.
Isn't that what's important?
Yes.
Yes.
So redefine so we can continue in all this stuff that ain't working, that's harmful, that's not necessary, that's unbiblical.
No.
No, that's what we're doing or what's been done.
That's not.
We need to stop that.
Right.
I agree.
Let's go to more Bible. Okay. Or do we need to take a break?
Well, we need to either play a song, or then after the song we can take a break, or you can keep reading. It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
So we are going to look at some pictures in the Bible of the church. So God...
My Bible's not illustrated.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you talking about word pictures?
Yes.
Okay.
Parables, if you will.
I'm with you.
Will you?
Jesus said something about that.
I would.
So yeah, God a lot uses themes, patterns, pictures to communicate to people. So some of these are... themes that are used more than once. So we're going to look at these. The first picture that we're going to talk about is a community of believers, essentially. Believers united in faith, filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking God and His ways together, and caring for each other. And the scripture that backs that up is Acts 2, pretty much the whole chapter. Acts 4, specifically 32 through 35, which Mark Sanford, if you want to get that out, and you'll read it.
You said Acts 4.
Acts 4, 32 through 35.
Okay.
You know, I'm experiencing this. more after I left the church system, because I have a lot of friends that are, I experience some of that community with, that are in other churches,
mm-hmm.
that they attend worship at a different location, right. But I have more interaction with other Christians now than at any time I was in an institution, because the institution was very protective,
yes.
of not working with other denominations or other people from other churches, and I'm not that way, so I end up working with everybody.
I'm going to practice my preacher voice while I do this.
And
the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own.
Do you see why he doesn't preach now?
But all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For they were not. There was not a needy person among them. No one. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need.
Wow.
Yep. I think you're uninvited next time.
We can just mute his microphone, and he can wonder why. He can't show.
I can't. None of us can reach his button.
It's the black button.
You want to bet?
Touch my button.
We'll figure it out.
No.
I have freakishly long arms.
The other verse would be pretty much the whole chapter of Ephesians 4, which we're going to dive into later if we have time.
We won't. We haven't even done a song yet.
I know. So in Acts 2, backing up a little bit, there's power and presence of the Holy Spirit pouring out. Peter preaches in the Spirit and in power, which we talked about that. He's preaching this very confrontational thing, and a lot of people come to faith. Those believers are devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and prayer.
We've turned into devoted themselves to the Sunday morning service of the pastor.
Right.
Which is not what they were
not
doing.
Not an apostle.
And a wafer and a shot of grape juice.
Sometimes they've got potlucks.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Did you not read the news that like 20 people got sick and some died at a potluck?
No.
Yes. No, it's not funny. It's serious. I mean, they're like gathering up all the food dishes and trying to figure out where the stuff came from. But it was a church potluck and a bunch of people died.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's horrible.
No more potlucks. I was going to say.
Anyway.
Don't go to church.
Thanks, Jerry.
So as we just read, they had all things in common and were meeting needs. Same thing in Acts 4, which we just read. Ephesians 4, there's instruction on caring for each other and leaders raising up people in their gifts so that they can minister, and the church seeking to achieve the fullness of Christ. So one thing I wanted to note before I forget to note is that, so it's like, okay, let's go to the Bible and see the instruction for church. While there is instruction for what you do when you gather, most of the instruction is on how you actually live together and how you treat each other,
hey, it's not a religion.
Right.
It's a relationship.
Right.
And you'll hear people quote that, but the reality is it's a life.
Right.
You're just supposed to live your life in union with God in the way that God designed you to live, not the way the world says to live, not gathering up for yourself a bunch of wealth that's going to rot and anyway.
Yeah, there's no high holy order of service.
Right. But we do need to go to commercial.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to have to skip some, and that's going to throw them off, and then we'll have to deal with that. And
commercial time.
Commercials.
I was born into a system constructed for failure. It's a sinking ship being manned by drunken sailors. Escape artists behind the bars of a jailer. An asthmatic attack, and they withhold the inhaler.
Welcome back to the Resistance Radio Show on the Reformation Radio Network. I wanted to give a quick shout-out to our sponsor, Sun Ministries. That's S-U-N Ministries. You guys can find them on the internets, the webnets, www.sunministries.org.
You
better watch out for those webnets.
What about Sun, S-U-N, Cafe, and Market.org?
I heard they have tasty
food. If you want to find us and what we teach and different things in our blog, it's DiscipleDrivenChurch.org or on Facebook at Disciple Driven Church or Twitter at Disciple Driven. There you go, Mark. Jason, pictures, church.
Continue. I like those drums.
I know they were good.
When I played that for my daughter, I was like, what's that? And she's like, drums. And she smiled.
She loves drums.
I've taught her well.
She does.
She's awesome.
So continuing on with pictures. So we just talked about the pictures of this community. So some questions before we move on to ask yourself is, if the church is a community of believers devoted to these things that we listed, the apostles' teaching, breaking bread, fellowship, prayer, are you devoted to them? How are you taking part in the community? If that's what it is people sharing life, are you sharing your life with other people?
Should be necessary.
Good question. Next picture. A body with Christ as the head. whose members are working in
gifting.
Which
is always a strange picture to me. I mean, I get why they use the analogy, but it's just strange to think of the body.
It's one of my favorites.
Is it?
Yep. So, Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, especially verse 27, which pretty much just says the body.
With Christ as the head.
Yeah, it's pretty much
so you didn't make this up. No. You actually got it out of somewhere.
1 Corinthians 14, 26, which I think talks more about giftings. Colossians 1, 18, and again, Ephesians 4. It's crazy. That Ephesians 4 is basically, to me, it's like God saying, here's my church.
Pay attention. Follow this.
It's not what Webster thinks it is.
Right. So again, they describe different giftings, those giftings working together in the assembly. Ephesians 4, again, describes the church as a body. Christ is the head, gives specific instruction for certain giftings to equip the saints for ministry. And that's what they should be doing, so that they reach the fullness of Christ, which means if you don't do that, you don't get no fullness.
No fullness.
No fullness.
Which sucks.
Well, the fullness, and that's what I really love that whole idea of the fullness, because, you know, Paul talks about having a full knowledge, not just knowing in part, but like you actually get to know everything there is to know about God. Like you get to have him inside of you, dwelling inside of you. And that's just the greatest privilege ever. And to think that the way that church is done now is stealing that away from those who are actually chosen, those who are called out by God, is just sickening.
So what I call that is decapitating the church. Yeah. So if Christ is supposed
cutting
to be the head,
head,
which means he's your Lord, he's your source of life and power, you start living in ways individually and corporately that say Christ ain't our head, you've decapitated it, which means there's no power, which means all the men who's supposed to have Christ as their head don't. All the ladies that are supposed to have their men leading them and stuff don't get that. So you get all these unencouraged, unfed, weak people.
Hey, kind of like sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Go to number three.
I'm not going to go to number three. I'm going to read my questions first.
All right.
Are you seeking to function in your gifting in the body? Are you allowed to do that?
I am.
That'd be another question. Are you viewing other people in the church as members of the same body, loving them as your own body, caring for them, working with them?
Okay, stop right there. Because this is something that's always bothered me. Approach the structured institutional American church wants to tell people they're working in their gifting. Mm-hmm. And they want to tell them they're doing that by serving in a ministry of the church.
Right.
That is a perversion of what the Bible describes. We are talking about using your gifting in the worship gathering.
Yes.
Right. That's what's described.
Because there's no spiritual gift of parking lot attendant or children's minister.
Man.
But the point is this. You can't bypass it in a passive congregation and say, we're going to fulfill your need or God's design for you to use your gifting in another area at another time, because they're still cutting you off from using it when you're supposed to, which is in the worship gathering to build each other up. So it just bothers me, and I wanted to say that. Go ahead.
I'm glad you did.
But then you look at that, and that's just like a micro picture of what Christians have turned their lives into, which is you can have your entire life, but you can only go to church for these 2 hours on this one day of the week. And so,
or small group, or then you go to Sunday school, and then you add on serving. And
that's how they view their ministry too. Is it's like you can do your ministry in this one little section outside.
Compartmentalized is what it is.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Totally compartmentalized.
And this picture, like for me, again, it's my favorite because it is, it's the core, it's the life and breath of sharing life together in faith, walking with God. His power's moving through, you're ministering to each other, you're breaking down strongholds, you're getting encouraged, you're getting taught, you're getting exhorted, prophets are speaking.
We experience this problem whenever new people try to come into our congregation and they still compartmentalize.
Yes.
Like they'll show up once in a while, or I'll volunteer my time, and they never get integrated because they don't grasp the fact that it's life on life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to try to get one more picture before a hard break. It is the Bride of Christ. Revelation 19, 7 through 9, Revelation 21, 1 through 4, Ephesians 5, 22 through 23, and pretty much the whole book of Hosea.
Boy, I really like in Revelation when it says that the bride is clothed with the righteous acts
of the saints.
That's really cool. So
without righteous acts, the bride's naked.
Right. Which is why Paul tells us to be zealous for good deeds.
So now look into the symbolism of the Old Testament when it talks about your nakedness being revealed. And what's being revealed is the fact that you have no righteous acts.
Lives of disobedience.
So one thing I wanted to read for sure was Ephesians, and sorry I misspoke, 22 through 33 is what I meant to say.
You better hurry up, because you're going to a hard break, son.
I know. So it says, starting 22, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, blah, 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 keep moving on. And then it says,
that's not in there.
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So even Paul is like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Christ and the church this will join and become one flesh.
This mystery is great.
We'll all become one. That's what we're. That's the fullness of Christ we're trying to attain to, is unity of the oneness with him.
Yeah. And the big thing, and I see in the picture of the bride, is purity and devotion.
Yes.
And that's what we should be.
Obedience.
We should be pure. We should be devoted.
Questions, questions, threaten the perception of a beneficial system or pyramid scheme with its cogs and its pistons, mechanization of man, making more and more.
Welcome back to the Resistance. I wish you guys could all see the dance I was just doing to that song.
Wasn't just you. I was wondering if you guys were going to break out of that before you had to come
back. I'm telling you.
I almost didn't make it.
When Ben Pasley's up in this place, it's going to be crazy.
Up in this place.
He rocks it also. Yeah. So yeah, if you guys are just joining us, we explored some of the corruptions going on in the modern church, and we are now going to the Bible to look at some pictures that God uses to describe this thing called the church.
The church.
We're not there yet.
Church, church, church.
So we've talked about the picture of the community of believers, the picture of a body with Christ as the head, and the picture with the bride of Christ, and Mark Goodwin,
which we are still talking about. I just wanted to share, because it was like, as you were talking about that, I realized, okay, so I am not married. I do not have a bride. And I think that in me, I can understand like this almost anxiousness or this yearning that Christ has for his bride, if that makes sense. Like, it just, I don't know, that it speaks to me in a really cool way that, like,
it's desire.
He has, it's this excitement that he has to see this bride, and it's a really beautiful picture.
Dude, I was watching a BuzzFeed about reactions of grooms to their brides, you know, the tradition of not seeing them in their attire or whatever until the day of, or the hour of, and it was stunning. It actually made me cry. It made me cry. Wow. Because well, you see this, and then God just falls on me. He's like, this is a declaration of me here. Mm-hmm. It's like this.
It's
all these guys were just
so
some of them were
this.
In tears.
Yeah, what if you had provided your bride with a beautiful wedding gown and all of this stuff to ordain put on, so that she would be the most beautiful she could possibly be, and she decides to put on all these filthy rags and roll around in the mud, and you watch all that, but you know the wedding day's coming,
mm-hmm.
Man.
Right? That's what Christ. That's how Christ looks at his church at times.
That's tough.
Is that the bride is rolling around in filthy rags and wallowing in the mud. And you know what? There's another Ezekiel passage that talks about that.
16, right?
Yeah, about God coming by and finding Israel in the mud, bloody, born, neglected. And he picked them up and cleaned them off and gave them all of this stuff and ordained them with beautiful things, and they went out and played the harlot anyway.
Yeah.
And so there's another picture, but I understand what you're saying about that anticipation.
It's crazy.
Yep. Jason,
yeah,
any more
we're
pictures?
Yes, I do.
Can talk about more pictures now.
Our next picture is three things that are really similar. So
really do.
This picture of the church is God's household or temple or building. So 1 Corinthians 3:9-17. 1 Timothy 3:15, Hebrews 3:5-6, and 1 Peter 2:1-10. So God's household or whatever is basically where his glory dwells.
The New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, I think about in Revelation.
Yeah, it's where he resides. It's holy and sacred. It's made up of believers, living stones, priests, a place where spiritual sacrifices are made to the Lord. I wanted to read that 1 Peter.
It's where the priestly service takes place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it very interesting that Revelation describes this huge city with all these precious stones, and it's all a spiritual picture. So it's like, obviously, they're trying to convey something with all of these precious stones that we know of here on earth.
So if the temple is the dwelling place of God and the body of believers is to be the temple, and we take it in an institutional format and put it in a building on a set day of the week, then what we've done is say that's where the gifts are supposed to work. That's where the body's supposed to function. The priesthood's supposed to function, but we don't let anybody function Instead, we're supposed to be living our lives out in the community amongst the people that are hurting and the poor and those who have suffered injustice, so the priest can function out there and minister to the people.
Right. I know that I don't just use my spiritual gifts on Sunday morning for 2 hours.
No,
definitely
that would
not
be really sad to do that.
Right.
I've been in that position too, and it was really sad.
It is, and it's, I mean, yeah, it just takes away all the power that Christ has given us.
Were you going to read something for us?
I had some trouble finding First Peter because my babies decided to edit my Bible.
Was it after Revelation?
Then? It sure was.
Well, there you go.
They switched it around a little bit.
They're trying to do that chronological.
Oh my goodness!
Bible
so
thing.
The little italics heading is as newborn babes.
Well, so is that
God's
an Evan
humor
thing or a Josie thing, tearing the pages out of
your
Bible?
It's a tag team effort.
Do they go after it together?
Yeah.
You have no chance then.
So I'm going to read out of my page, a loose leaf Bible.
You know, that's a lot like the early church. They were handing around letters and stuff. They didn't have it
all
bound together.
Babies are chewing on them, apparently.
They didn't have it all bound together
without
and organized
the printing press.
And verses. And
so starting in verse 4, I'm going to start with. So
Jason's going way back to the beginning.
I am.
Here.
And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Living stones.
Yes.
Pretty awesome.
It is. It's great.
Did all you believers know you were living stones?
I knew.
I love that it
read
it
is
the
too,
way
because I read that.
I
once
love that the way it says it is that you
maybe
are being
times
built mm-hmm into. A house doesn't build itself.
Nope, God builds it.
Right.
So that's the other thing is that these three things, because and you guys can go and look at those scriptures.
Well, how does he build it then? I mean, it has to be knitting us together.
He's a general contractor.
Basically,
he pulled the permits.
Well, in general, he's a contractor.
Wow.
He pulled the permits.
But it's knitting us together in the bond of love and,
yes,
and through our spiritual gifting,
yeah,
so that we become this stable
and,
thing
and
that
through
can
withstand,
life, withstand the waves.
Through life and not just to our segment on Sunday or Tuesday
on
night or
the
Wednesday
foundation
night
of solid rock.
Yeah, so I wanted to continue on.
On your second page?
Yeah, I have to get my other loose leaf. Because this is basically what you're saying. So it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
All
so
things that don't apply to unbelievers.
Been, yeah, but he's saying you've been, God in his ridiculous grace reached down and grabbed you and said, no, we're done with this junk. We're done with the mess. Satan doesn't get to just chew on you all day long. I'm
Let me
coming
show you
for
a better
you
way.
Here's light now.
Which is what Paul says in Corinthians. Let me show you a more excellent way.
Yes.
As right before excellent he outlines how the church is supposed to function, he says, this is what you guys are doing. Let me show you a more excellent way.
Pretty fantastic.
So I'm going to show you another picture.
Go ahead.
This show
comes
you
out of Ephesians 3 or something.
Excellent
picture.
It does.
Uh-huh.
A declaration of God's glory. So as there's two kind of aspects of this, but they're kind of the same thing. One talks about his fullness, which is Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. And the other one is as manifold wisdom, Ephesians 3, 8 through 12, which I'm sure Terry would like to talk about because he does all the time.
Ephesians 3, 8 through 12?
That's what it says in my notes.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, you caught
the
me
manifold
guard
wisdom.
Yeah,
my Bible no longer
all about
has an Ephesians
wisdom
3. So.
I am about the manifold
Oh, wait, here
wisdom
it is.
Well, then get on with it.
It is about declaring to the spirit realm that God is who he says he is, and that we believe it.
Ooh,
that
yeah
we're going to obey it. And that's what the church is designed to do, and it says it right there in Ephesians 3. That's why unbelievers can't be there, because what they declare to the spirit realm is,
right,
God is not who he says he is. I don't believe it, and I'm here to just kind of experience. I want to just figure out whether God's real. And God does not come to defend himself. In the very first verse of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God.
Right.
Everything after that is a declaration, not a defense or an explanation.
I think one of the coolest
yes
things is that, like, you take it back to what Terry said in previous radio shows, that declaring God's glory. So you might think, what is that? You know, and there's no way to declare God's glory but through obedience. If you're being disobedient, then you're not declaring God's glory.
You're saying what he says don't matter.
Right. Right. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands.
Right.
So if you love Jesus, you have to obey him. Even the stuff that you don't like, where it says you can't be his disciple unless you sell all of your own possessions. And today, especially in the prosperity gospel, people think that's nuts. That doesn't apply. Well, what do you do? Just throw Jesus' words out and say we don't have to deal with that one? I don't think so. We need to do a song.
I'm getting there.
All right.
I'm getting there. Believe it or not, I'm getting there.
We went one whole hour without a song, which we've never done before.
I'm aware. I had one more thing to say. So that Ephesians 1 talks about Christ's body as the fullness of him who fills all in all. And again, being this revelation of God's glory and fullness, his pleroma, that which is filled with the presence, power, agency, and riches of God in Christ. So yes, song. Believe it or not, we do play songs.
Well, we're going to do a song, and then I think they're going to tag the commercial break right onto the end of it, because that's the way it's going to
roll. That's fine. This
we'll
song
come back and talk some more.
Is by a group called Wilson and McQueen. I found them on Noise Trade. You guys can go there. And the song is called Waiting on Pentecost, and that's basically what it's about. It's about the early church, and it's kind of this personalized narration of people waiting for this promised Holy Spirit, which is what God wanted to bring. It's what Jesus gave back to us, was his Holy Spirit. So now we're going to listen to it and then go to break.
This episode was originally broadcast live on April 24th, 2015.
Resistance is hosted by Dr. Terry Goodwin, Mark Sanford, Jason Callahan, and Mark Goodwin. Our theme music is The Resistance by Josh Garrels and is licensed by Marmoset Music. This episode of The Resistance Radio Show was originally broadcast live on KXEN 1010 AM in St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you for being a part of The Resistance. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from our feed at theresistanceradioshow.wordpress.com. Find us on Twitter at Disciple Driven, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Disciple Driven Church, or on our website at DiscipleDrivenChurch.org. To learn more about our missionary work in the inner cities of America, please visit sunministries.org. You can email us directly at terry@DiscipleDrivenChurch.org.